Welcome to the Cornerstone League podcast, bringing together credit union advocates, thought leaders, champions, and more. I'm your host, Tanya Dittbrenner, Cornerstone League Director of Communications and Media Relations. This episode is the second installment of our Women's History Month two-part series, which features female voices in the credit union movement. In a minute, you'll hear my conversations with Cornerstone League President and CEO Caroline Willard and Allegiance Credit Union SVP and Chief Marketing Officer Kristen Vaughn, who share their thoughts on central issues women face in the workplace today, women who have inspired them, and advice they would give themselves at the beginning of their careers. Caroline, thank you so much for joining me today.
Oh, I love being on your show, Tanya. You're so professional.
Oh, thank you. So let's start with your story. How did you find credit unions and ultimately make your way from marketing to the C-suite?
Well, you know, it's a story that's sort of similar to a lot of those in the movement. And that is that I had, maybe there's a different twist on it because I was not brought up in finance or accounting. I was a marketer and I had marketed in industries other than financial services. And what's kind of interesting about that is I actually worked for a company who used the same ad agency as a thrift in Orange County. And that thrift is no longer in business, as most of them aren't. But I did get a job being their marketing director, and I started marketing mortgage lending really in the 90s and for a thrift. And so, I mean, I think I came up really with a strong marketing background, and then I learned about financial services and I thought, this is what I've been wanting. This is what I've been wanting. It's a complex product. It changes depending on the rate environment, depending on what's happening in the economy, depending on consumer needs. And so I liked that it had a dynamic component to it. And so I was sort of hooked. I, however, was not hooked on working for a for-profit financial institution. I knew that something seemed a little bit missing about that experience. And so I got recruited by actually the company that is now O'Rourke, and a good friend of mine is now running that, who happens to be female, by the way, Jill Nowacki, got recruited to work at a credit union and, you know, came up through the marketing ranks there. And I loved what I was doing. I loved working in a financial institution. And I also loved credit unions. And that was where the love affair really started. So I clearly had found my niche, right? I clearly understood that credit unions were different. And I thought, this is what I want to do. This is purpose-driven. And my very first job out of college actually was working for a nonprofit. And so it had that same sort of people helping people vibe to it. And yet there was something cerebral about it too, because it was complicated and dynamic the way financial services are. And so stayed there and, was on the executive team for about 5.5 years and then needed to change jobs so I could move. And then that brought me to Co-op Financial Services, was there for 11 years. And really spread my wings management-wise there. Got to learn a lot of different disciplines. And that's really what got me ready to be a CEO, because I got a break actually from somebody who seems unlikely. And that is, you know, an older gentleman, you know, who's at the tail end of his career, Stan Holland. And he just gave me break after break. And he wanted to see me thrive. And he said, if you're not going to be a CEO here, you will be a CEO somewhere. I mean, what an inspirational thing to hear. And so I didn't really believe him at first. And yet he trusted me and let me dig in. And so from that, I was ready. I think he gave me enough challenges that I was ready to be a CEO. And when the opportunity at Cornerstone came up in 2017, I could not turn it down. I thought, this is a chance to really have an impact at a greater level and to exercise every last muscle that I've built over the years.
So what is a central issue affecting women in the workplace today?
You know, I just went on a girls' weekend. We talked a lot about this topic, about how the pandemic in particular has impacted women in the workplace. And so we talked also about being fans of Sheryl Sandberg from Facebook and her lean-in concept, not starting with a book, continuing with the Lean In Circles, continuing with her wonderful website. It's not even just hers anymore. It's just sort of her intellectual property. But so, I mean, if you look at leanin.org, I just did this because I thought the topic we were talking about was how the pandemic affected women. And so the good news is that we've learned that we can have flexibility, that we can have flex work hours, that we can maybe work remotely more than we used to. And that has helped women, especially women, get through the pandemic. Women who might have had childcare issues otherwise, if they'd had to go into an office, especially when their kids' schools are shutting down and whatnot. So that's making a difference. And that's the good news, that flexibility has created some new opportunities for women. However, we also haven't evolved to the point where we all have learned how to set great boundaries. And so without those boundaries, what we're finding is that we're on 24/7. And so there's really no shutting down work right now. And that's not healthy. We can't sustain that forever. We can't feel like we're always on. And so managers are going to need to work with employees to help them and give them permission and license to set those work-life boundaries, because otherwise we're just going to burn people out.
Kristen Vaughn is SVP and Chief Marketing Officer at Allegiance Credit Union. She has been with the credit union for 13 years, and she also has some interesting things to say about boundaries. But first, let's hear her story.
I've been with Allegiance for 13 years, so try and cram 13 years into, you know, a brief synopsis. Started as a teller, actually 1 week after graduating college. I was very fortunate that a position in the marketing department opened up within 3 months of me being at the credit union. My first supervisor, my branch manager at the time, he really encouraged me to apply, which I don't know that I would. It was for a business development officer at the time. I had no idea what that was or what that meant. He could have very easily not nudged me because, you know, he had just got through training me and having a teller in his branch, and to know that he was going to sacrifice having to go through that onboarding process again. I have always appreciated that he did that for me. So hopped into the marketing department after just 3 months of being there, was in business development for a few years. I started taking on roles of social media and stuff while I was a business development officer when our communication specialist left, and then was given the opportunity after a couple of years of juggling both. We were able to do an add to staff. So I kind of got to make the decision of if I wanted to go the business development route or go, you know, the digital marketing route. So I chose to go digital marketing, and my boss at the time, our VP of marketing at the time, she continued to give me work, let me grow in my role. She advocated for promotions where, you know, as she saw my responsibilities grew. I went from communication specialist to communications manager, and she would just constantly evaluate like what I was bringing to the table and, you know, go to HR and say things like, you know, I think this role has grown into more than what it started as. So I will always be grateful to her for that. So at this point, it's been 9 years that I've been in the marketing department, and there really was nowhere up for me besides my, you know, boss's job at the time. But, you know, I mean, she could have still not been retiring for another 10 years. And while I was happy in my current role, Amy Downs, our CEO, saw value and potential in me, maybe even more than I think I saw in myself. And she actually created a new position that promoted me onto the management team at the time. And I moved into the role of director of digital marketing. So we kind of differentiated traditional marketing and community development and community relations. And then I got to be my own boss almost of just digital marketing and really focus on that. And so I'll always be grateful to Amy for being so innovative to think outside of the traditional, you know, our org chart. And then now I was in that director of digital marketing role. The pandemic came, it kind of changed some things. People came and went. And so I then, you know, title changed to just director of marketing. So I was the person in charge of marketing, and I have a marketing coordinator. And so it's just now really the two of us in the marketing department. And then just this past year, I was reporting to our SVP that oversaw both lending and marketing. And at the end of the year, both him and our CEO got together and talking about future planning and future execs and stuff like that. You know, they said my name came up, and have to give credit to, you know, my boss at the time, Brent Rimpey. I'm sure a lot of people in the credit union world know who he is. He came in after that meeting and he said, why are we talking about down the road? Like, I think Kristen's ready now. And, you know, she's basically running the marketing side of things. And, you know, he felt like he was just turning into a middleman between the executive executive team and me bringing back anything that marketing need to know. So I really admired that he let go of that piece. And so he moved into our chief lending officer role and I moved into chief marketing officer. And so I really appreciate that both him and Amy, you know, they saw the value in me having a seat at the table and, you know, and Brent kind of letting go of that piece of something that, you know, he used to get to have a say in. And we have a very collaborative executive team. So not to say that he doesn't still have a say, but I feel very, very fortunate that throughout my 13 years at Allegiance, I have worked for supervisors and, you know, a CEO that they really foster the career advancement and development of their employees.
You said that the executive team is very collaborative. It sounds like that is a central tenet of the credit union as a whole, right? I mean, it sounds like there was a lot of self-awareness mm-hmm. going on with those who facilitated your transition and your ascension mm-hmm. up the ladder.
Yeah, for sure. I feel very, very fortunate to have worked for a company that has that mindset and mentality.
What is a central issue affecting women in the workplace today?
Feel like there are a lot of things that, you know, you could probably list here, you know, the gender pay gap, getting a seat at the table, imposter syndrome. And then something that I think that has been kind of on the forefront the past couple of years is just burnout from trying to do it all. I mean, I think women and mothers have struggled with that pre-pandemic, but I think it's become an even bigger deal since these past 2 years of women who are, you know, running their households and having to watch the kids and homeschool and all of that kind of stuff. And I am not a mother, but I recognize and admire and appreciate, you know, just sympathize with what women and moms have had to go through these past 2 years. We've seen women leaving the workforce in unprecedented numbers over the past couple of years because their jobs aren't flexible enough for them to be able to do it all.
I'm seeing two sides of the coin here on the issue of trying to do it all, but then burning out. There are two actors in this scenario, the woman who is trying to do it all, and then the employer who might inadvertently place that expectation on her. So with that setup, what do you think women can do to prevent that in themselves? And on the other side of it, what do you think employers can do to help prevent burnout?
From the female employee side, I think really trying hard to set boundaries.
Oh, that's hard.
And I mean, and this applies to people outside of being moms, because as I said, I'm not a mom. And, you know, I sometimes go into the mindset of like, well, I can do more or I should step up more because I don't have a family at home. That could go one way or the other where it's like, but I do still have a personal life. You know, I have a husband, I have pets, I have friends, I have hobbies, you know, so it's not a competition of whose, you know, personal life matters more by any means. So I think all of us could learn from setting boundaries that like we do have lives outside of work. And no matter how much we love our job, we love the people we work with, or we're passionate about our
right.
work, we still have to have that balance of who we are outside of work. And, you know, and then I think right. bringing our full selves, being able to bring our full selves to work and not having to feel like I got to keep my personal life separate from my work life. So I think setting boundaries as best you can and knowing that you don't necessarily have to answer that email at night. Will business still survive if you wait? You don't need to answer that phone call. And then from the employer side, again, being flexible, if you can allow remote work, allow remote work. And then generous leave policies, like are you offering decent paid time off for people to be able to take care of things outside of work when they need to?
So you touched on this a little bit during your About Me story. Can you hone in a little bit on a woman or several women who have greatly impacted your career trajectory or your personal life?
For starters, I come from a family of strong females. You know, my mom is a very strong worker, career oriented. And so she set an example there. And then I have three sisters. I come from a family of all girls. So four girls. So I've been surrounded by women my whole life. All of my sisters are very hardworking, passionate. We're all in completely different lines of work and stuff like that. And so I really feel fortunate to have those examples in my life. And then, you know, from a work setting specifically in my career, because my whole entire career has been, you know, at Allegiance. Like I said, I started there the week after college and have been there ever since. I've had several female mentors at Allegiance, you know, my previous supervisor. And then I have a close relationship with a woman who was in the marketing department with me. She was very much a friend, a mom, you know, and even though she's now retired, we still meet regularly and keep in touch and stuff because, you know, that relationship was beyond just, hey, we work beside each other every day. And then I have to mention our CEO, Amy. And I'm not just saying that because she's my boss now. In advance to everything, when I talked about, you know, how she looked outside the traditional organizational chart and saw my potential and wanted to put me into a management role to really see if I could flourish, and being very receptive to the idea of me coming onto the executive team. She's also taken an interest in things outside of work. And so again, kind of that bringing your whole self to work and being able to show that you have a life outside of work. She, several years ago, led a group of employees to complete our first half marathon at the Oklahoma City Memorial Marathon. So we all trained together, and then with her continued encouragement, she kind of inspired me to go on and complete a full marathon a few years later. And I really did most of that training on my own, but she continuously like checked in on me. She gave me a little good luck charm to put on my laces right before the race day. And then even after that, I trained for an Olympic triathlon. And she, you know, again, would ask me, going out of her way to, you know, send me text the night before to say, no matter what happens tomorrow, like, be proud of yourself for, you know, this journey, and that you tried and that you put yourself out there. And then, you know, she showed up the day of, and, you know, to cheer me on from the sidelines. And it's like, how many people can say that their CEO was at the finish line of a personal non-work related accomplishment?
Gosh, no, I'm getting chills just hearing this story. I am a runner as well. I'm not in marathon condition whatsoever, but I do know the rigors of the training program for a half marathon and the actual half marathon itself. It's a vulnerable moment when you're crossing that finish line, and for your CEO to be there for you, that is an amazing act of support. It's unique. That is really special. When I asked Caroline about women who have inspired her, she didn't have to look very far.
First and foremost, I would tell you that I can't answer this question without saying my mom. And it's especially poignant right now because my mom, some of you out there will know that my mom has now relocated to Texas. And so she and my stepdad are living with me temporarily, and they bought a house in Allen, Texas, and they're waiting for that house to be finished with construction. So what's awesome about that, though, is that I get to see, for the first time in a long time, living under the same roof, I get to see the energy that I thought that maybe I just came up with on my own. Turns out mom taught me a lot about that. And at 80 years of age, she is still a force of nature. And in fact, right as we speak, she's out making dinner for me and for my stepdad for when I get done with work today. And, but even before that, before she became a current inspiration, she was an early inspiration, and she worked in an industry that was really dominated by men. She was a contract administrator for a hydraulic pump company that served the nuclear power generating industry. Highly, highly male dominated, a lot of engineers. And in fact, she met my stepdad, who was an engineer working for that company. And so she had to really stand her own, and she had to negotiate contracts, and she had to execute contracts and make sure that all the I's were dotted and T's were crossed. And so she taught me that women can excel in a man's world. That was pretty powerful at a young age. Within this industry, I think it's fresh on my mind because I just attended very recently the National Credit Union Foundation's Foundation Awards dinner in Washington, D.C. And one of the honorees was a woman named Lucy Ito. And Lucy also is a force of nature, and she recently retired from the National Association of State Credit Union Supervisors, or NASCUS. And, you know, Lucy worked at the California and Nevada Credit Union Leagues when I was still working in a credit union in California. And so I got to know her inimitable style. And I don't just mean the way she dressed. I mean her grace under pressure. And I think even more recently in her role at Naskis, the fact that she used the fact that women can be strong and forceful and great communicators, she used that in an advocacy role. And so I got to see how she used that quiet grace and steely resolve to get a whole lot of stuff done. And so that's been tremendously inspiring to me. And we had some great award winners this year, but that one hit home, especially close to home, because I have been watching Lucy and learning from her for so long.
What can others do to become better allies to women in the workplace?
I think the biggest thing is, you know, giving them a seat at the table. And so this goes for, you know, male, female. So I'm thinking just like leadership at organizations. If you look around your board table and executive and management tables and you don't see any women, I think you have to start there. And so, and again, I get that's not just an overnight thing. You don't just find the first female walking down the hall and be like, well, you're on the management team now. Like, it's not as simple as that, I understand. But just like, are you, like, take a hard look at your organization and, you know, your branch managers and stuff, you know, people in leadership roles. Do you see women in those positions? And if you don't, what can you do now to start mentoring and building up women that you see in your organization that could take on those roles? And then also, do you see diversity when you look at which women you have in leadership roles? Specifically speaking to women is providing mentorship to other women. I think if you can be the example and support system that you either had, or to be the one that you maybe wished you would have had, because I understand not every woman who has climbed the corporate ladder, if you will, had that, and they maybe felt like they had to do it all on their own. But to, you know, challenge that mindset, if they feel like, well, I did it all on my own, so could everybody else, that it's like, think about, well, how it would have been easier for you, how you could have felt more supported. Because I think when women support other women, good things happen.
Well, you know, I have to model the behavior that I'm about to talk about, because I think we need to point out when other women are doing great things. And so I'm going to do that. And a few of them, selfishly speaking, I'm going to point out some women in the Cornerstone region because I think they're awesome. Let's start with a group who started the sister societies of the Global Women's Leadership Network here in the Cornerstone region. So that included Nancy Croy Stroud, Gina Wilson, Tammy Passafium, a whole lot of others, actually. I can't list them all. But these ladies helped kick off what was really just kind of a fledgling idea in this region and allowed women a safe place to lean on each other. And you know, now they're bringing in great speakers all the time so that we can hear from other women who've blazed the trails and learned what they did to succeed. And so that's been such a wonderful thing that they've given to the Cornerstone region. And then huge shout out as well to Lily Newfarmer, who was one of the founders, along with, I'm going to also mention Maria Martinez from Border Federal Credit Union and Tammy Passafium from Diamond Lakes Federal Credit Union. Lily, of course, is from Tarrant County's credit union. The three of those women, along with some other peers from across the country, formed the Credit Union Women's Leadership Alliance. While it's a national organization, three of those founders were from the Cornerstone region. And so I just want to shine a light on the fact that they are getting a group of women together who all run small credit unions, because there are unique challenges to running a smaller credit union, you know, resource challenges, scale challenges, and they're learning from each other and lifting each other up. And I just want to celebrate them and what they've built. It's pretty fabulous. And so between those local sister societies and the and CULA is what it's called, I couldn't let the moment pass without saying, here are women lifting up other women. And it's pretty great.
If you could go back and deliver a message to your younger self early in your career, what would that message be?
I think it would be to be more confident. To be more confident in yourself and your abilities. While humility is a wonderful thing, also know that you deserve to be here and your voice matters. Because I do think, and I know I'm probably not the only woman or person, you know, again, regardless of gender, that has those imposter syndrome, or, you know, I catch myself because I've worked at such a great company, I've had great mentors and supervisors that have helped me. You know, I sometimes think, God, I'm so lucky. Like, how did I get here? Like, do I deserve this? Also recognizing that it's both. If I work hard and, you know, and I have the skills and I've demonstrated that I can do these things, that I do deserve to be here. And it hasn't been just a pure stroke of luck. So I think if I could tell my younger self that, is just to be more confident and to not doubt yourself or always feel like you have to wait for your moment, that your voice matters.
Well, some folks have heard me say this before, but I'm going to say it again. And that is, be brave, get out of your comfort zone. And, you know, in my case, I stayed in marketing a little bit too long. I love marketing and it's all I really wanted to do in the first part of my career. But then, you know, I mentioned earlier that, you know, I had people telling me, hey, you might be able to be a CEO someday. And I kind of went, no, I couldn't, you know, that I don't see myself that way. And I probably could have just stayed and been a chief marketing officer and I would have been great at it because I loved it. I think anything that you really love, you can excel in. And so I don't want to take anything away from folks who stay in their specialty. But if you really want to rise up to that next level and be a leader on a broader scale, you will have to get out of your comfort zone. And so I wish I'd told myself that earlier. If I'd taken on, for example, operational responsibilities sooner, or in my case, what I ended up doing was taking on product development or a more technical role a little later point in my career than maybe was the best path. And so if I had done that earlier, I might have been a CEO before I turned 50 rather than after I turned 50. So now you all know that I'm in my 50s, but I think my younger self, if I could have said, you know, set a path for yourself. And if that path includes broad leadership, you can't stay comfortable too long. You've got to get out there and learn other skills.
Women's History Month may be behind us, but these conversations are impactful no matter what time of the year you listen to them. I hope you enjoyed these conversations as much as I did. Many thanks to Caroline Willard and Kristen Vaughn, who graciously shared their stories and personal sources of inspiration. You have listened to the Cornerstone League podcast, hosted by me, Tanya Ditburner, and produced by the in-house Cornerstone League team. Stay tuned for our next episode featuring some of our Cornerstone Foundation partners in honor of Financial Literacy Month. Until next time.